I want you to grab your notes with me for a minute, and I want you to open up, and we're going to jump right into a little discussion here on, well, we're going to talk a little bit about finding our place in the water park. Now, some of you automatically go, you start to zone out, because the last place you want to be is a water park. And you're thinking, if he's really going to talk about water park, it's easy for me just to kind of go on snooze control right now. Wake me up when the music starts again, right? Well, for fear of that, what I'm going to encourage us to do is just go ahead. Let's all be good sports here. Let's jump right in. Let's imagine. I want you to imagine with me for a minute that we've all gone on a trip together to my favorite water park ever, which is Schlitterbahn. And we've all taken a trip there. How many of you have been to Schlitterbahn before? I want to see your hands. Okay, several, quite a few of you. There you go. All right. I think I've only missed going to Schlitterbahn 3 different summers since it opened in 1979. Like, I am messed up, right? I love Schlitterbahn, right? Most of those years have involved taking student ministry groups there. But I was going there when they opened. As a matter of fact, I was in my mom's attic before she sold her house several years ago and found the brochure for Schlitterbahn the very first year they opened, right? Ticket price, $6. Okay, this wasn't supposed to be depressing. Let's move on for a minute. I want you to think about our Schlitterbahn trip, and I want us to visit some different spots in the park together. And as we visit these spots, what I want us to do is I want us to think about our relationship with God and see if that spot in the park makes us think about our relationship with God. As we get started, I want to look at this first spot, which is outside the gate. Finding ourselves at the water park, but outside the gate. Any of you ever been in that place before where you're outside the gate looking in, not really there, right? I've been at that place more times than I want to admit for a variety of reasons. One of them, several years ago, it wasn't actually a water park, but my family and I were in England. And we were hanging out there doing a mission trip, and then we spent our last week together after the mission team went back to the States. We stayed in England and Scotland and just kind of did a family vacation. We had the girls with us, and they were little, and we had the stroller and everything. And it got to our next to last day there. It was 4th of July. And we were actually in London and decided, you know what? We've done just about everything we wanted to do. Why don't we go out to Wimbledon? Because I've never been there. I've watched it on TV all the time. I thought it was really cool. It had just ended, and I thought, you know, go out there and tour it and check it out. It'd be kind of fun, you know, maybe buy a T-shirt, right? And so we hop on the tube, right, their subway, and we go out there. We mind the gap, and we hop on, and we head out there, and we get to one subway that transfers us to the next one that gets us out to as far as you can go before then you have to walk. They didn't tell me at that point as you're walking toward Wimbledon, it's like uphill for like half a mile, pushing the stroller with the girls because they're little and tired and it's hot. And we get to the top, and I kid you not, there is one day a year when Wimbledon is closed. It's not Christmas. It's not New Year's. It's the day after the tournament is over. And I'm looking there going, are you kidding me? We've gone all the way to the middle of Nowheresville, London, which is pretty much where Wimbledon is, right? And we can't get in. And I'm just standing there looking. You've been there before? I want you to imagine with me for a minute. We all get to Schlitterbahn together, and we're hanging out, and we're there at the gate, and you don't have a ticket. And maybe you don't have a ticket because you just don't have a ticket. Maybe you got the wrong ticket, right? Maybe you didn't know you needed a ticket. Maybe you thought I was paying for your ticket. Yeah, right, it's not 1979. Right? But whatever the reason, you don't have a ticket, and you can't get in. And I want us to walk a minute into the Gospel of John. We find the triumphal story, the triumphal entry. We find the Last Supper. And as dinner is concluding, a conversation between Jesus and the disciples. They want to know where he's going and why they can't go and what's going to happen next. And in John chapter 14, Thomas asked Jesus this question, how can we know the way? You're leaving us. Jesus, how can we know the way? And Jesus responds this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thomas, I'm it. Thomas, you've been hanging out with the answer, not just an answer. No, I am the answer, Thomas. And some of us in the room this morning might be thinking, but I thought everybody gets to go to heaven. Actually, you need a ticket. And it's very, very specific. The good news is that the only ticket that works has actually been paid for already by God through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. He paved the way for us to get to Him. The great part about this, too, is that the ticket is being offered to each one of us as a free gift. It's as if I walked up to you in the Schlitterbahn parking lot and said, you don't have one? It's been paid if you want to receive it. Now, you got to have faith that it's actually the right ticket, right? But I'm not just giving you some ticket to SeaWorld that Schlitterbahn's going to look at and go, oh, nope, sorry, wrong ticket. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. Say, but God, I thought if my ticket said I did good stuff, then I could go to heaven. No, wrong ticket. You mean if it doesn't say that, no, wrong ticket. Actually, if it doesn't say that your faith in Jesus as Savior and King is where you are in this world, it's the wrong ticket. And we're left outside the gate. Spot two, Pollywog Pond. It's fun when you're two. Right? I mean, seriously, it is. It's fun when you're two. Our kids love it when they're little. They got small slides. They got little small pools. The water's warmer than most other places in the park. We're not going to go there. When I go there now, it's like I bump my head on stuff, right? I get on the slide. I get halfway down. I get stuck. It's not so much fun. And if you go there and you see me playing with Levi, it's like, oh, isn't that cute? But if you go there and I'm hanging out all day by myself, you're thinking, that's not normal. Matter of fact, that's a little creepy. Because you see, we grow up and we grow out of Pollywog Pond, right? We just do. Matter of fact, if you don't see me there doing some of the tube shoot stuff like Cliffhanger and Whitewater and the Comal Express, and I'm going to do Dragon's Revenge and Black Knight and the brand new one that they're about to open up that's 3,600 feet long that's called The Falls. Yeah, I've been to Schlitterbahn a couple of times. If you're not there doing that kind of stuff with me, right? What in the world is going on? And just as I shouldn't still be at Pollywog Pond all day as a grown-up, I also shouldn't be at the same place I was when I first got saved. We've got to move forward. We got to grow up spiritually, just like we grow up physically. Just like when finally fall comes around again and it's time to go back to school and you go to put on those pants and they're too short. Just like whenever you go to the doctor and they go, wow, look how much bigger. Just like whenever you see Aunt whoever, and the last time she saw you was when you're six and now you're nine, and she goes, you have grown up so much. Just like when we grow up physically, Jesus says, listen, grow up in me. Fall more in love with me. Get to know me more. I want you to look at the verse here. The writer of Hebrews is writing to Jewish Christians in the book of Hebrews. And the readers of this letter had endured an enormous amount of persecution. And as a matter of fact, many of them had chosen to abandon the faith, leave Christianity because it was so tough where they were, and actually go back to Judaism. And the writer here in Hebrews is encouraging them. He's reminding them, Jesus is the way. It's worth it. Stick to it. There's dark days, but I want to challenge you to grow in your spiritual faith. And in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, the writer says these words, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. These followers of Jesus were struggling, and the writer of Hebrews went straight to the root of the problem in the verse that we just read. He says, listen, your struggle is not about your circumstances. It's about your immaturity. They hadn't grown up spiritually. And so the question is, whether or not we're 9, 19, or 90, are we growing? Here are some questions to tell if we're hanging out at Pollywog Pond or not. Is our faith deeper? Are we trusting God for even greater things? Is more of His Word in our heart? Do people know Him more because they know us? Is our love for Him deeper? Is our knowledge of Him greater? Are spiritual disciplines in my life now that weren't there a year ago? Are spiritual disciplines stronger in my life now than they were a year ago? Am I serving more? Am I sacrificially giving? You see, the answers to those questions tell us whether or not we're just kind of hanging around, hitting our head on the slides that are little, or jumping into the greater places in the park that God designed us to live in. Spot 3, Congo River. This is really old school water park. For those of you Sherbon enthusiasts, this is basically the place where you go and you get in a tube and you just go around and around and around and around. I mean, this is not like the other part over in Blasting Off where you're like, the waves are like going, it's not even that fun, right? It's just you're going around and around. That's it. I was thinking about this, but the only time I really had a lot of fun with Congo River was, oh, I don't know, probably about 15 years ago. I was at a church and we took like 250 middle schoolers to Schlitterbahn, right? 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, incoming 6th graders. No offense to any of you incoming 6th graders, right? But I had actually convinced a couple of those girls that there were piranha-like fish that had come in from the Comal River into the Schlitterbahn Park, hanging out in the Congo River in the shady parts. Always trust your youth pastor. Always. That was probably the only true fun I ever really had in Congo River. And those of you... get out of there! Get out of there! Those of you who know much about that area, you know you can actually get out, but you have to paddle. You have to be intentional about it. Otherwise, it just kind of keeps you going around in a circle. But you can get out of Congo River. There is a way for you to keep going to the cool stuff where the piranha-like fish are not. The writer in Hebrews cautions in chapter 2, verse 1, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. You been there before? Struggling, complacent, just kind of there, not helping yourself or really anyone else, just drifting. And it's in that spot of just kind of drifting spiritually that we allow the world to significantly impact what our conversations look like and what we watch and what we purchase and where we spend our time and our money. Have you drifted away from that time with God? Do you know someone who's drifting now? Look at Hebrews chapter 16, verse 19. The writer actually gives us the answer for our tendency to drift. Just a few chapters later, here's what he says. We have this hope as an anchor. What a great thought here. Those of you who enjoy boating, I want you to just think for a minute. Here it comes. How do we stay solid in our faith? An anchor, this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. What or who is this hope, this anchor? When you begin to read between the lines in chapter 6, you discover he's talking about Jesus Christ. So Jesus, I'm going to tie myself down to you as anchor so that when the tides of doubt and fear and materialism and temptation and pride begin to push on my life, I am able to, as Paul states in Ephesians chapter 6, stand firm. So where are you this morning? outside the gate, Pollywog Pond, hanging out at Congo River. Got two more. But the Beach Family Wave Pool. It's fun for a while. And not so much fun anymore. This spot is, for some reason, often crowded at Schlitterbahn. I'm not sure exactly why. Maybe it's because the other lines for the really cool things are long and it takes some effort, right? Maybe it's because they forgot their water shoes and their feet are sore, or they forgot their sunscreen and they're burnt to a crisp. I don't know, but there's just always kind of a lot of people there. And you know what? For a while, it's kind of comfortable. And it's enjoyable just kind of rolling with the waves. And then the next minute, here's my experience. The next minute, I go from feeling pretty good there to all of a sudden I'm like waterlogged, seasick, and I got to go to the bathroom. I mean, that's just me in the wave pool. It's kind of like a miniature version of actually going to the beach, getting caught off guard by that wave that just sweeps in. I mean, you've been body surfing and it's a lot of fun and you're just having a blast and you're looking cool and everybody's going, oh wow, he went so far on that one, right? And then all of a sudden waves slam you and you are doing what surfers call the washing machine, right? You are flipping upside down. You're spitting water out. You're making sure your swimsuit's still intact. I mean, you know, and it's all happening there on Laguna Beach in California. Not that I would know. But what a crazy time when it seems like things are going well and all of a sudden you're upended. And it's like up and down and up and down. You've been there before? You feel like you're constantly up and down in your faith. It's like VBS. Woohoo! We had so much fun. Here's all the stuff on stage. Yeah, we learned the song. It's so cool. We got the motions and I can't even do them, but they're fun. And we have a blast, right? And then what happens? Grounded from the Xbox next week. We go to camp and it is fantastic and the speaker Memorial Day weekend and challenges us and we're in student ministry and we're like, yeah, this is great. And all of a sudden, whammo, right? We look up and we hadn't spent time with God in, gosh, since Memorial Day weekend. Worship experience is intense. This is fantastic. Wow, I'm really getting in tune with God. The next week, slammed with some habit that once again eats my lunch. I hear this incredible talk on a Sunday morning, and I'm so inspired and so challenged and so encouraged. And then 3 days later, oh, man, God, where are you? You feel as if you're constantly up and down in your faith. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." A one-time occurrence? Is this just like, okay, I believe and now everything is great. I've had that one moment with you, God, and now there's only ups, right? That's it. Here's what's interesting. If you go into researching this passage a little bit, here's what you find. The word believe there, and I know I'm about to really like distance myself from most people in the crowd, even myself, right? It's a present active participle. What? I know. And you're listening. This is so good. Present active participle. Here's what that means. It means that whenever that was written in that language, in the Greek, here's what it says. It says, whoever believes and is continuing to believe. Whoever believes and keeps on believing. We don't even have a word, one word that just describes that. So they just put believes there, but it's actually this act of continually believing. What a great picture that Jesus gives us to say, here, I want you to keep coming to me. Keep coming to the source. Keep trusting. When you feel like you're constantly up and down and up and down and all over the place, stay connected to the source. A few extra thoughts on what happens when you feel like you're maybe at the family beach wave pool, right? One thought from David, Psalm 51. He cries out, create me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Create in me a pure heart, he says. When we feel like we're constantly up and down in our faith, one checkpoint for us is to go back and make sure there's nothing in the way between me and God. One other side note, Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. When we feel like we're constantly up and down in our faith in the family beach wave pool, here's what we've got to do. We've got to say, okay, God, I'm going to do the thing I know to do. What do I know to do? God, rip away all the confusion. Okay, I know you've called me to act justly and love mercy and walk humbly with you. And how I treat my family, my mom, my dad, my kids, my employer, my neighbors, I'm to be that when everything else seems like it's all over the board. The waves slam you. The riptide starts to drag you out to sea. If you're a surfer, you go surfer basics 101. You know what you do? You get air as fast as you can, right? And then, critical, you figure out where the shoreline is. And you swim not toward it, but you swim parallel to the shore. Why? Because you're getting yourself out of the riptide, out of the current. So you swim parallel to the shore and then swim in. It's basics. All surfers know that's what you do when you get stuck and you're going under. It's basic surfer lingo 101. And so the question is, when you're in that up and down point, do you know what your basics are to hold fast? To look at the shoreline, to see Jesus, to grab air spiritually and say, God, I'm going to focus in on you and I'm going to paddle in your direction. Number five, spot five, last one, riding the boogie bond. That was me when I was in high school. You've been on it before, right? You know what I'm talking about. Maybe not on it, but you've watched people. And the people who are riding the boogie bond there at Schlitterbahn, it's like when they're really on it and they're doing what the ride was intended to do, people are like clapping and cheering for them, right? I mean, it's a big stinking deal whenever you are on the boogie bond and you are going for it. Great respect. Last week, I took our kids to go see Soul Surfer, right? Great movie. We're in the theater with like half a Rock Point, I think, right? Yay, dollar theater people, right? We're all hanging out there. We're watching the movie. I mean, what an amazing story, right? I mean, her arm is chewed off by a shark and she goes through, wow, all these ups and downs in competition and in faith. And Bethany Hamilton, in the very end of the movie, and the story about her life, what you see is you see her serving God in Thailand after the tsunami. And you see her competing at levels competitively that she had never been to before. In fact, just 2 years ago, she wound up third place in the world in a competition. 6 years after the incident. I mean, just loving Jesus and following hard after him. And in spite of tragedy and failures and frustrations and unanswered questions, she was experiencing God the way he intended her life to be. Are you? Are you experiencing life the way God intended it for you? Philippians 1:9. Paul is talking this prayer out loud as an encouragement to the Philippians, and may it be an encouragement to us. Because if you're not on the boogie bond right now, you can be. And you don't have to be a certain age. Paul says this, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. If you continue on in that passage in the book in chapter 3, he says, not that I have already obtained all this. I'm not there. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect or have already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold for that which Christ has Jesus Christ took hold of me. Whereas I do not consider myself to have yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I'm going to forget the fact that I've been hanging out in Pollywog Pond. I'm going to forget the fact that I've just been screwing around over here and, you know, this other part of the park that really I had no business being in because God wanted me to live it to the fullest over here at the Boogie Bun. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to face forward. And as I face forward, I'm going to press on, verse 14, toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's the place in the park I want to be, whatever age I am. Now, I didn't feel like I was much at that place in the park at one point this week. You know, the hailstorm comes. We kind of recover a little bit. The adjuster comes out, you know. Starting to add up the deductibles to the roof, to the car. Start to get worried a little bit. A little bothered by what is going to happen to me financially, even just with like deductibles, right? I'm just like, oh man. I'm just like, I get anxious. God hits me. You know what? That's not me you're feeling. I'm in control here. And your family's safe. And it's all good. It's all good. And you know what? I'm going to take care of you. So what? Why are you getting so wigged out? Just be still. Know that I'm God. With your eyes closed, you should ask God this morning to show you where you are in the park today. Are you outside the gates? No relationship with God yet? It can start today. You can talk to somebody after the worship set, the music is over in a few minutes. Come see me. Come see one of our pastors. Visit with your mom or dad. Say, listen, Pastor Randy, I don't think that I would get into the park right now. I've relied on myself in hopes that I could find God. I got the wrong ticket. Maybe you say, I've just kind of been hanging in Pollywog Pond. Not much past where I started with God. But this morning, I'm going to commit. I'm ready to make this summer a summer of new growth with Him. I want to read His love letter. I want to talk to Him more. I want to put into practice what He's showing me. Maybe you kind of felt like you've just been in Congo River, Family Beach, Wave Pool. You know, two different places, but really the same solution for getting out of both. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Saying, you know, I'm not going to get distracted by circumstances, but I'm going to place my faith completely in You for all that happens today. Hailstorm or not, rough day with friends or not, God, I'm just going to trust You. Maybe you say, you know what? I've been riding Boogie Bond. And it's been sweet, Randy. I want to celebrate with you, but I also want to challenge you. Who are you teaching to ride it with you? Who are you pouring your life into? Man, is there someone that God has pointed in your direction to come up underneath your wing for you to help grow spiritually? Maybe that someone's in your home. Maybe that someone's in this church. Maybe that someone's at your office. I think we're all at the park somewhere. Or maybe outside the park. But God's met us at that place this morning. And He's got a word for us. So I'm going to pray. And then we're going to do some really backward things here. We're actually going to stand up in a minute and welcome everybody. I want you to pray with me as we conclude this portion of the service. God, thank You so much for reminding us where we are with You in this moment. God, I am convinced that there has been the still small voice of Your Spirit whispering inside of us, giving us a mirror to look back and see where we are. God, may we in faith take steps toward the Boogie Bond. God, may we be the moms and dads that you've called us and created us to be this summer. May we be the children that you've created us to be this summer as we grow closer to you. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for a church like this, that we could have an incredible family worship experience like this, that we could just kind of hang out and hear from you and be challenged all in the same room together. It's been a cool morning, God. Thanks. Thanks for it all. Thanks for the Beach Boys and the Beach Balls. And God, most of all, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has made a way for us, who is the ticket to the park, to be with you forever. Thanks, God. In Jesus' name, amen.